This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:47 in the morning. I'm Khoo Soo Chuang and I'm joined by Wong Xiaoning. The government is cracking down on environmental crimes following the river pollution incidents earlier this month, which led to a four-day shutdown of water treatment plants in Selangor. This week, the Environment Minister, Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man, announced that a special task force is being set up to deal with environmental crimes. Also called the Environmental Crimes Unit, the task force is a collaboration between the Home Affairs Ministry, Department of Environment, National Water Services Commission, the police and the Department of Biosafety.
Now, it's expected to commence operations as early as next month. Of course, this is a welcome development because environmental NGOs have been calling for an establishment of an environmental crimes unit to specialise in cases of damage to the environment, especially on the back of pollution cases like the recent one we saw in Sungai Gong or last year's Sungai Kim Kim scandal. However, there are still a lot of questions as to the mandate of this task force, the resources being allocated to it, and how will it operate as an inter-agency body.
So to get some thoughts on what's needed for the Environmental Crimes Unit to be effective, we speak to Kew Jia Yeo, the co-chair of the Bar Council Environmental and Climate Change Committee. Kew, first reaction to the announcement, is this a good move or will it add another layer of bureaucracy?
I think my first reaction, I have to admit, is, oh no, not another layer of bureaucracy. But when I went into a little bit more into how the institutions are structured and how the laws are structured, in this case, we have the EQA with the Water Services Industry Act, and reading some of the other views from people who have been working on water and on pollution, on environmental protection, I do realize, yes, there are gaps in terms of giving the enforcement powers to the appropriate agencies. So institutionally, yes, there are gaps. And it appears that, yes, a unit, well, it depends what this environmental crime prevention unit would be like. But more coordination would be really important. So if the question is this a move in the right direction? I think it's early days. Really, the devil is in the details.
So how are environmental crimes currently being dealt with the current law?
The approach to environmental crimes is unfortunately couched quite narrowly. First of all, when it comes to crimes, the burden of proof is on a standard of beyond reasonable doubt. And so only the most serious cases appear to be prosecuted. The level of conviction and actually having punishments being meted out don't seem to be as prevalent as the instances of pollution that we see. And also the criminal action that we've seen in media are really based on laws that are quite old, where our perspectives of how environmental pollution and concepts like environmental justice, these concepts are not really mature yet at those times. You know, these are laws from the 70s to 60s. And so the laws themselves are in dire need of revision.
So Q, what counts as an environmental crime?
Okay, there is no definition in that sense. So the question might have been answered when the environmental courts were formed in 2015. So anything that has an offence, a criminal offence that touches on aspects of the environment, right, have been categorised as the kind of offences to go and to be heard in front of an environmental court. And so those are, broadly speaking, environmental crimes.
So what are the challenges in prosecuting and convicting people of environmental crimes or perpetrators?
Evidence is one issue. We have very strict ways in which to admit evidence in court. For example, with the Department of Environment's conservative approach is used where evidence generally have to be collected by the department itself. And so civil society who have collected evidence, who have reports and testimonies, for example, these are generally not accepted and they would then want to collect their own evidence. And so you have some practical problems, for example, factory emissions that happen after working hours. And so that means after your Department of Environment officials are no longer working or no longer testing the air or the waters. There are these gaps in terms of gathering of evidence and enforcement. And these pose very real problems in nailing, you know, criminals. So it's a very narrow perspective. That's really what I mean. I think the wrong that is done, if we take Sungai Gong as an example, the wrong that is done is really profound and it affects so many people. But on the accountability side, from a crime angle, it is unfortunately very narrow, and the bar is very, very high to achieve a conviction.
So is it due to the fact that the laws are insufficient or poor enforcement, or in fact a mixture of both?
Certainly enforcement can be improved. What we need is a broader, strong leadership in terms of saying that this is not okay, and enforcement should be carried out seriously and not narrowly. And by not narrowly, I mean public engagement. Members of the public should be encouraged to participate in reporting, in providing information and data, and that they should be taken seriously by the enforcement agencies. And then agencies need to share that data, not just among the various agencies, but also with members of the public, so that then members of the public, people who are living in those areas that are under threat of pollution, more of us can connect the dots, and that becomes a useful feedback loop towards a better accountability in society.
Now, we don't seem to have much details yet, but what do you think needs to be in place in order for such an agency to be effective?
There must be, number one, very strong leadership and a very clear will for accountability, such that all the units would be aware that they are not to work inside of silos. They should not be looking purely to cover their own agendas. But I think more needs to be done in terms of changing the behavior of businesses. So one aspect is on holding them to account in the sense of justice by criminally prosecuting them. I think another piece that is largely missing is the government should also, in addition to prosecuting them in criminal offences, they should also be going after them in civil action to make them pay for the cost of cleaning up, helping the environment recover from their actions. Now, that cost is also something substantial, and that can also motivate a change in behaviour among less responsible businesses. The government can also make it easier for members of the public who have been affected by pollution, make it easier for them to bring their claims against these polluters in a court of law. Now, at present, these laws are there, right? You have the torts of negligence, for example, which is in our body of law. However, the rules and the laws that allow people to have access to justice need to be updated and need to be streamlined so that it is not very difficult for victims to actually hold people accountable in court.
Yeah, thanks so much. That was Qiu Jiayao, the co-chair of the Bar Council Environment and the Climate Change Committee. I just want to point out that his thoughts on the lack of enforcement in this country is probably one of the key reasons behind why we've got so much environmental waste. That same apathy you see when you see people roll down the windows of their car and just chuck out that Twisties wrapper. You know, you just fast forward that individual 30 years when he owns a factory. He just feels the same apathy when it comes to just dumping his waste into the rivers. I think the enforcement should be enough, and the sentences should be draconian enough to even perhaps amount to just something short of like a murder charge, because I mean it is really as bad as that.
I wouldn't go so far as a murder charge, but definitely more than just a slap on the wrist, right? Because you need people to be honestly scared of the law and,
absolutely,
you know, and
absolutely
worried that it might be enforced. Otherwise it's just words on a piece of paper.
Okay, 55 minutes past 7. We'll come back after this with a song called I'll Feel a Whole Lot Better by The Birds, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.